You're listening to the podcast of Village Church in Burbank, California. To learn more about Village Church, visit our website at villagechurchburbank.org. We hope you enjoy today's message.
Good morning. So good to be with you today. Happy Father's Day. I see some new father up in the balcony today, our only person, so happy Father's Day, Luke. I know that when I mention Father's Day, or maybe even when I mention the word father occurs in your life, that it brings many different types of feelings and emotions to people. Maybe feelings of joy, maybe feelings of anger. Maybe feelings of gratefulness or feelings of grief. Or for some of you, maybe it brings all of those feelings all at the same time. I know when I was younger, I always imagined that feelings were like happened more independently of each other, but as I've grown older, maybe a little wiser, I've realized feelings overlap a lot more than I thought they did. They seem to coexist in the same moments. But whatever your relationship is to your father, your earthly father, and for that matter, to your heavenly father, I pray that you have a blessed day today, and that you choose to move towards gratitude and reconciliation and forgiveness, and remember, through Christ, we have a good, good father. But for me, when I think about Father's Day, it's the best. I mean, I was blessed to start it makes me think of this song by one of my favorite artists, Ben Rector. And he has a song that just encapsulates how I feel. And the lyrics go, I've customized them a little bit for my own life. As I sing them, I always sing them this way. But he says, I'm the richest man in the world, a father to two baby girls, and a dog I know loves me. I'm famous to a few good friends, and beside me to the end is my wife who is so lovely. I'm the richest man in the world. That's exactly how I feel. To start off with, I was blessed with the best dad in the world. He was a man of few words. He is a man of few words, but so much significance. He's a spiritual rock, a selfless provider, a steadfast love I could always count on. Thank you, Dad. I'm proud to be your son. And then as a dad myself of two girls, it's my favorite thing to be. It's the best job in the world. And this year was especially special for me because my Father's Day gift came 2 weeks early. When right here on this stage, my youngest daughter, Avison, was baptized. I'm not crazy. There was a horse trough right here on the stage, believe it or not, if you weren't here. And that gift was a culmination, actually, of a gift that started 4 years earlier when my older daughter, Isley, was baptized. I mean, what greater gift could a father ask for than to know that his kids have chosen to follow the Jesus way, both in this life and in the life to come? So I say, happy Father's Day. And I pray for an abundance of riches for each of you in your lives as well. Now, media team, please don't clip that part about praying for an abundance of riches. This sermon may go viral for the wrong reasons. But I remember watching Avison stand right here. And I was sitting right out there in the pew where I always sit. And, of course, I had my phone up and I was recording like every good parent should. And Avison was standing here. She's about to be baptized. And Ryan looks at her and says, hey, Avison, what brings you here today? What caused you to make this decision today? And I remember sitting in the pew and immediately starting to wonder what she was going to say. Had she put any thought into that? Or was she just going to ad-lib right on the spot? A good dad probably would have asked that question prior to that moment, but then she pulled out her iPhone. And I was like, oh, okay, she's got this. Because, you know, her iPhone has her notes on it about what she's going to say, because who uses a pen and paper these days, right? And then she shared, and in just a couple of short sentences, she imparted so much wisdom and self-awareness and insight that I asked her if it would be okay if I shared a little bit with you this morning. Just in case you weren't here, or if you're like me, you actually really need to hear this. And this is what she said. She said, I've always been really scared of what other people think. People at school, people at dance class, even people at church. But this year, God has opened my eyes to see how he sees me. And then she quoted Jeremiah 31:3, which says, I have loved you with an everlasting love, and I have drawn you with unfailing kindness. And then she finished by saying, now I know that God loves me exactly how I am, and I couldn't care less what other people think. Wow. Avison with the mic drop in three sentences. I mean, if we could only all master that lesson, right? To remind ourselves, to see ourselves the way God sees us, and to see other people the way that God sees them, that is the Jesus way. So I'm standing up here this morning, as Ryan mentioned, because a few months ago he asked me to preach. Once again, I said yes. And I usually spend that time starting to think about what God has put on my heart recently, or what I've read, and something that's inspired me. But this time I decided I'd try to be like Ryan, and not choose my own passage, but use the Revised Common Lectionary selection, which this week happens to be Matthew chapter 10, verses 24 through 39. And let me tell you, this is not as easy as Ryan makes it look. I got a nod back there. So I've been chewing on this passage in Matthew for months. For more than 150 days, I have searched for insight. I have spent hours praying to God to give me discernment, to hear his voice, and asking for wisdom from his word that I could share with you this morning. And I'm grateful to say it happened. I'm always surprised. Because I've broken down this passage in Matthew, which is challenging in light of this being Father's Day weekend, if you've ever read this passage. So this week, as I normally do, I'm just putting the final touches on my sermon. I'm reviewing my notes. I'm making some, you know, last-minute typo corrections, and I'm looking at it. And I think I'm about done when I hear God's voice. Now, I don't know about you, but that doesn't happen to me very often. In fact, most of the time when I recognize God, it's usually in the rearview mirror, right? I look back and I see, oh, yeah, that makes sense. I see God, the way you were working and what you did. Why didn't I see that when it was happening? Why did I question so many things when you were there the whole time? But this time, it happened before. And I did. I heard his voice on Wednesday afternoon, actually. I know, because I text Ryan Wednesday morning with my title of my sermon, which I'll get back to you, and lo and behold, on Saturday night, he heard something completely different than what he thought he was going to hear. But the thing is, God's voice didn't sound at all like what I thought it was going to sound like. Is it just me, or does anyone else imagine God's voice to sound a lot like Dave Wilson? Now, if you don't understand that reference, Dave Wilson was a longtime member of this church. He sat right over here every week. And in fact, we ironically just celebrated his wife Charlotte's celebration of life right here yesterday morning. But they would sit right there, and I was blessed to have sat in front of him many, many weeks during worship. And let me just say, many a hymn still resonates in my memory with Dave's bass voice. He also sang in the choir many, 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 many years. I mean, we sang at the celebration of life for Charlotte, we sang two of her favorite hymns, Great is Thy Faithfulness and How Great Thou Art. And I can tell you, no matter who's leading or who's singing, all I hear in my head is that bass voice of Dave Wilson. But God's voice this week didn't sound like that at all. His voice was more of a mezzo-soprano, which if Daniel weren't in Nashville and he was sitting right here, I would look to see if he was impressed by knowledge of choir parts. That's what I get for growing up with two girls who love to sing. So it sounded more like a mezzo-soprano, and it sounded an awful lot like my daughter, Avison. Now, of course, I was skeptical at first, right? That's not what it was supposed to sound like. Because when we often ask God to speak to us in our life or to show us signs of his presence, we get caught up looking for the supernatural and all the while ignoring God speaking to us through people and places and things in our everyday lives. It reminds me of that movie, Bruce Almighty. Has everyone seen it? Anyone remember it? Bruce is a guy in the story who's kind of in this moment. This is the show me a sign God scene, right? And he's at his wit's end. He's driving in a car. Life is not going the way Bruce expected it to go. He's not going the way he thinks it deserves, the way he thinks he deserves. And he's mad. He's mad at God. And he's at his wit's end, and so he's driving in the car, and he's praying to God out loud. And he's desperate. And he's looking, and he's saying, Lord, show me a sign. I need you. And while he's praying, and in his desperation, he's not really paying attention to the road, and off to his right-hand side is a construction sign on the road that's flashing caution ahead. And of course, he ignores it, and he keeps driving. And he keeps praying to God, and he's asking for a sign and asking God to reveal himself to him, and pulling out in front of him is a truck. It pulls right in front of him, and is driving really slow, and he's like, come on, right? Anyone ever feel like you're driving an invisible car that people just pull out in front of you, and you're like, what's going on? And so Bruce is angry, and he's angry at this driver who pulled out in front of him, and what he doesn't notice is that in the back of the truck is filled with stop signs. And so he pulls out around the truck and passes them, and it's like, okay, I got to get back to it. And Bruce is sincere. Like, you can feel it in his voice. Maybe you've been there. Lord, I'm desperate. I need a miracle. And as he says miracle, he hits a pothole. And he had grabbed some rosary beads, and they were in his hand. And he was praying, hoping that that was going to be the magic power to get God to listen to him. And he's driving, he hits this pothole, and the beads fall out of his hand. And he's like, great. And so he reaches down to pick up the beads, doing exactly what every driving instructor told us not to do. And he looks down, and he moves the steering wheel, veers off the road, and crashes into a light pole. He survives. He gets out of the car after taking the airbag out of the way. And he stands up and says, really, God? I'm asking you for help, and this is what you let happen to me? And he said, are you asleep up there? If you're real, strike me down. Smite me, you almighty smiter, he says. And at that same moment, his pager goes off in his phone, in his pocket, which gives you an idea how old this movie is, right? Kids, ask Claude or ChatGPT what a pager is. But he's saying, I need to hear from you, God. And his pager goes off, and he looks at his pager, and there's a phone number on the pager that he's supposed to call back, but he looks at it and he says, I don't know who you are, and I wouldn't call you back if I did. And if you watch the rest of the movie, the pager continues to go off over and over and over again. And finally, he gets so annoyed by it, he calls back the number on there. And when he calls back the number, it's the voice of God, which in this case sounds a lot like Morgan Freeman. You see, I'm not the only person who thinks God has a bass in his voice. And we all laugh, right? We laugh at that movie. We laugh at that scene because God has so obviously trying to put signs in Bruce's life that he wants him to listen to, but Bruce misses it because he only believes that God can work through the supernatural and the spectacular. And so I laugh, and that's when I realize I am Bruce. So I stop laughing. Because let's be serious, it's only funny when it's happening to somebody else, right? You see, I've been praying for months for this sermon. A sermon on Matthew chapter 10, verses 24 through 39. And I felt pretty good with what I put together. I entitled the sermon, No Fear. And I've been asking God for discernment and wisdom. And all this time, what he was doing, actually, was preparing my heart to hear him through the words of my 13-year-old daughter. So instead of giving me my sign, you know, I wasn't asking for much from God. I was just like, maybe, like, give me a revelation like John on the island of Patmos. Or maybe like Elijah on Mount Carmel and send some fire down from heaven. It's just something simple to get my attention to know that I was on the right track. But instead, he gave me three mezzo-soprano sentences. So that's what I'm going to share with you today. I put away my notes, and I wanted to challenge you with the words in the lesson from my daughter. Number one, can you somehow remember and remind yourself to see yourself the way God sees you? To remember that you are God's handiwork, created to do good works, as it says in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. Can you remember that you are delighted in? That God looks at you the way a parent of a newborn child looked at their kid. I remember when my girls were young, we would just literally set them on the floor before they could even crawl around or move. I see some babies that may be in the same boat right now. And we would just watch them for hours. We were so delighted to be their parents. We used to call it baby TV. We'd just sit there and watch them like we would watch the TV. That's the way our Father sees us. We are delighted in. It says so in Colossians chapter 3, verse 12. Can you remember that you are known and that you are fearfully and wonderfully made, as it says in Psalm 139? That you were chosen, not by accident, but that you're chosen, that you're holy, and we're God's special possession, as it says in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. We are heirs to a kingdom. We are a new creation in Corinthians. We are not condemned in Romans. And we are the temple of the living God. Can you remind yourself every day that you are a child of God? 1 John chapter 3, verse 1. And my second challenge is this. Can you let this knowledge define and determine how you live and allow this to be the lens through which you see other people, treating them as God sees them? I want to say that again. Can you let the knowledge of how God sees you, all those passages, those are only a few of them, can you let that knowledge define and determine how you live, allowing it to be the lens through which you see people, treating them as God sees them? That's it. That's my sermon for today. I have nothing wiser to share with you today than what my daughter shared on this stage 2 weeks ago. Of course, if you're itching to hear my riveting thoughts on Matthew chapter 10, you'll just have to convince Ryan to invite me back. Because today I'm submitting to the voice of God. Thank you, Avison. So in just a few moments, I'm going to pray, and the people who are going to be prepared to help us participate in communion this week will come forward. There'll be a couple of people down here in the front, and as we do every week in partaking communion at Village Church, you'll just make your way down the main aisle, take the piece of the bread and dip it in the juice, partake, and then circle back through the side, back to your seats. But before we do that, I'm going to pray, and I'd like you to think about something a little extra this week. And spend some time asking God to give you the eyes to see and the ears to hear his voice. Just don't forget to notice the signs and the people that he's put right in front of you. Pro tip, don't overlook the children in your life.
Thank you for listening to today's message. To learn more about Village Church, visit our website at villagechurchburbank.org.